So it'll be just like yesterday. I'll down tools after an hour and a half. Okay. Talked about the various model structures that you see on some push appreciates yesterday. And I want to talk about how to use them effectively with a list of examples. But for that, I need one more kind of formal thing. And it's this concept of co-cycle categories. Say that material yesterday was 20 years old, this is 2 years old. Okay. So, let's suppose that X and Y are objects in some model category. And define a category called the category of co-cycles from X to Y. That's notation. The object. Well, let's not screw this up. The morphisms in the model category, like so, where F is weak equivalent. Okay? Those are the objects and the morphisms. From one to the other. I can use diagrams like that.
Because the,
I'm sorry? No, yeah. Supposed to be away. Thanks. Okay, so this is an easy to see category, okay? And I'll tell you where this came from. An example. This is the co-cycle category. Let's suppose that F is the topological space. This is an open covering of S. And G is some topological group. And because it's a topological group, it represents a sheaf of groups on the open subset of X. Okay. So a normalized cocycle. Covering with values in G consists of a few things. Consists of sections in the sheaf of groups represented by G over each of the intersections of members of the cover. And this is for all pairs of members of the cover. And this is such that, sorry, I'm going to need to put the glass on. Well, if you intersect the same member of the cover, you get the identity back in the section. And the so-called co-cycle condition takes place in that group of sections, provided that you understand you're restricting these elements properly down to that group of sections. So, that's another way to say what that is. We have a check resolution. So this is a simplicial state. It also represents a simplicial sheaf on the open subsets of G, of S rather. And what this data is precisely is a map of simplicial sheaves like that. Okay. Now this is a check resolution. Simplicial sheaf on the open subsets of G. It comes from a covering somehow. And in fact, the map from the check resolution down to the one point simplicial sheaf is a hypercover. there is a co-cycle, okay, in the sense of life. And this is the place where the concept came from. All right. So, in fact, this is a member of this particular co-cycle category that lives in simplicial sheaves or pre-sheaves over the open subsets of you, of that's rather. All right. Categories have sets of path components. Okay. And there's a function from the set of path components of this co-cycle category. And now this is in this very general setting again, we're in an arbitrary model category. And this function takes values in the morphisms in the homotopy category from x to y. And let's go back to original notation. We have a co-cycle, and it represents, of course, a path component. And it gets mapped to GF inverse, because, of course, F is invertible in the homotopy category. Okay? Theorem. Phi is a bijection. And it's in good circumstances. Okay, I'm going to show you how to see this, but you might think that this I've done away with homotopy theory somehow. Okay, I want to show you that's not the case. I have a couple of maps from x to y, and if they're left homotopic, that means there's a cylinder object somewhere. And a homotopy defined on that cylinder object. That's G. Okay? And now part of the data for the cylinder object is that there's a kind of a projection map off of it. It's the identity maps here and identity maps there. Okay? These are the two canonical inclusions. They're trivial co-vibrations, so they're weak equivalences. And what that's saying is that if F is left homotopic to G, then the co-cycle represented by the identity F, well, by this particular path, it gives you the same path component as this particular co-cycle. Remember, S is a weak equivalent, it has to be. And in turn, that's the same, or represents the same member of the, represents the same path component as this co-cycle. Okay? So if F is left homotopic to G, then the corresponding co-cycles represent the same member of the path components, the co-cycle category. All right. To prove that theorem, you need two lemmas. Here's one of them. Suppose I give you a pair of maps between members of this ambient model structure, model category rather, such as both weak equivalences. And of course, alpha and beta together determine a functor. From the co-cycle category of maps from x to y to the co-cycle category of maps from x prime to y prime, and what the functor does is precisely this. that's all perfectly legal because this map delta is the weak equivalent, so it counts as weak equivalence there. Okay. And the statement lemma is this map, this functor induces an isomorphism of the associated passing point. Second lemma. Is this. Suppose that Y is fibrant and X is cofibrant. Then this canonical map from past components cycles from X to Y into morphisms in the homotopy category is an isomorphism. Okay. The theorem is a formal consequence of these two things. You can always vary X and Y, you know, by projection and path components up to weak equivalence. And in particular, you can replace X by a cofibrant model and Y by a fibrant model, and you still get the same path components in cocycle categories, and then you're done. I'll give you an idea of how that you prove this first thing. The thing is that this stuff's all really simple. So, suppose I have a co-cycle or an object in here. Okay? Now, of course, that's the same thing as a map from Z to the price, where then when you such that when you compose by the left hand projection on the X prime, you get a weak equivalence. Okay, that's another way of saying what a co-cycle is. Now, how would I get a cocycle from X to Y out of the deal? That's the thing here. Well, this map induced by alpha cross beta is a weak equivalence. Well, I should have said there's a few conditions here. Weak equivalences have to be closed into products, and the ambient model structure has to be right proper. So, you see a weak equivalence right there, and let's replace this by a fibration. And pull back. So, and PB indicates that square is a pullback. So this map here from W prime to X cross Y consists of two maps. Certainly it's a fibration, but the map PX star is a trivial fibration, so this is a cocycle. And how would you see that PX star is a weak equivalence? Well, this map is a weak equivalence. In the presence of right properness, its pullback is a weak equivalence, too. So you have a weak equivalence here, weak equivalence here, and forces that to be weak equivalence. Okay? And what I just shown to you is a construction. Where are we? It takes path components of this cocycle category, path components of that cocycle category, and that's the inverse for this map. Okay. The other lemma is equally easy to prove. this concept is going to be controlling a lot of what I do henceforth. Should say, that this theorem, and all I needed for it, wherever it went, is that the model structure should be closed, weak equivalence would be closed under finite products in the model structure, and also it would be right proper. Well, that's true in gross generality. So it applies to simplicial precedes, simplicial sheaves, precedes, inspector, et cetera, et cetera, and all their localizations. So the theorem is true in gross generality. In particular, for simplicial precedes and sheaves, simplicial sheaves. Okay, I'm going to use it. Not any. Okay. Let's suppose that M is the ambient closed model category. Okay. So you want two things. Weak equivalences closed under finite products in M, and secondly, you want M to be right proper. In other words, you want pullbacks, weak equivalences, launch vibrations to be weak equivalences. Okay, you see exactly that's what we need. All right. Now, we've known the basic facts of the homotopy theory and sheaf cohomology for years and years, okay? But the old proofs are all kind of awkward, and I want to show you a slick, modern way of doing some of these things. Okay. And the first step the theorem was proved by Van Alstyle in the late 70s. And in modern terms, it says the following. If I give you a weak, local weak equivalence of simplicial free sheaves, if I take free simplicial abelian precedes on each of them, okay, so that means take free abelian group everywhere you can. And so what you get is an induced map of precedes of simplicial abelian groups. In particular, it's an induced map of simplicial precedes. And the claim that this is local weak equivalence. There's a few proofs of this. The proof that Van Alstyle actually gave was an early, really striking application of Boolean localization. The idea is to prove this thing in a Boolean topos and pull it back. Okay, now I haven't explained what that is. There's other proofs too that involve fooling around with inclusions of finite simplicial sets locally. But I won't display that here. Let's just keep this in mind. Oh, I should say as well that before this thing became a theorem, it was a conjecture due to Ilyusy. He has a big, long Springer lecture note. This is the obstruction. Okay. Here's another way to think about this. If you're talking about a local weak equivalence of simplicial precedes on a topological space, okay, that would mean that in all stocks you're seeing a weak equivalence of simplicial sets. Okay? So in all stocks you're seeing a week equivalent to these simplicial beginning groups. So that's a local week equivalent to simplicial beginning groups. And the Boolean localization argument is essentially that. All right. Now, simplicial beta groups, of course, are special because they're essentially chain complexes. And here's the next thing you prove. Well, I'm not going to get into it too much, but there's all these model structures of precedes of simplicial Boolean groups that you can write down too. But what you can say is the following. This is precedes of simplicial Boolean groups. These are simplicial objects, so their underlying simplicial sets are just that. And in fact, their underlying simplicial sets are concomplexes. So this is a comparison map of precedes of concomplexes. But this is a local weak equivalence if and only if when you take the normalized chain functor, you get a quasi-isomorphism of precedes of chain complexes. Precedes of chain complexes. So in other words, saying that this map induces an isomorphism in all homology sheaves. And the reason for that is, of course, the homology sheaf, the nth homology sheaf, really means associated sheaf of the nth homology pre-sheaf. Okay. But at the same time, the nth homology pre-sheaf of this chain complex is the same thing as the nth homotopy group of the simplicial Boolean object that gave rise to it, based at the base point zero. You can play the usual white space tricks. What is this? This is the local version of the map. Everybody knows that if you have a map of simplicial Boolean groups, then that's a weak equivalence of the underlying simplicial sets, if and only if you look at the corresponding chains of homology isomorphism. That's all that's going on here. And the reason is exactly this, which is normal. Which is natural, rather. And I'm cheating a little bit because I haven't talked about other base points, but I get away with that because you can always map one of these groups into a map based at a different base point just by adding things. So I've also told you how to do the proof. You do it, I'll just leave it at that. Okay. All this got to do with sheaf homology. Let's start with a sheaf of Boolean groups. Okay. Boolean sheaves have enough injectives. So there's an injective resolution that I'm going to write this way. Injective resolution. All right. Now, I lied a little bit yesterday. I wrote this with a chain complex consisting of A concentrated in degree N. To make that consistent with standard shift operators, I have to put a minus N there, okay? And this means shift up N times, okay? In other words, so what's going to be in degree N is A, or consequently here the J0 in degree N, degree N minus 1, you see this, and so on. But this shift operator induces a map of chain complexes that looks like that. And in fact, sorry, I meant this. See, this is an ordinary chain complex, and this is something else. But this always maps into the so-called good truncation of the shifted object. So, you get an induced map of simplicial viewing appreciations like this, where T is the good truncation. So what are you seeing in degree zero once you've shifted? Are you seeing this? Okay, a minus N, sorry. And you're seeing this in degree minus one, and so on. And the good truncation of this gadget in degree zero is just the kernel's boundary map. And it's J up above, okay? A chain map like this induces a map of simplicial viewing precedes like this, right? So here's a lemma. Every local equivalence of simplicial free shapes induces an isomorphism in chain homotopy classes associated sheaf here, and I should have said this injective resolution is in abelian sheaves. And this isomorphism in chain homotopy classes goes backwards. Two chain homotopy classes are maps from normalized chains associated to X, sheafified, so this gadget shifted in minus N times. Well, why would that be? This induced map in sheaves with normalized chains is a homology isomorphism, the homology sheaf isomorphism. Okay, that's something we just saw. All right. Now, I'm about to pull a fast one on you here. If you let P and Q vary in that harm description, what you're seeing is a bicomplex. And if you think about what it actually does, it gives you a spectral sequence, the Z2 term, is an X group, relating the homologous sheaves of X with A, and it converges. Actually, it converges to chain homotopy classes and maps. From normalized chains associated to X to this guy J shifted minus P minus Q times, where P Q is by degree over here. This is just something you can work out if you think about it. And the fact that you've got the X groups here comes from the fact that you chose an injective resolution for A. Okay. And so what's going on? We have an isomorphism in homology sheaves, so that when you compare spectral sequences, you get an isomorphism on the E2 level. Spectral sequences converge, so you get an isomorphism in chain homotopy classes. So you compare spectral sequences. Let's take some chain maps. This shifted guy, okay? Two of them. Let's suppose they're chain holotropic. I'm going to write this for gamma. This old con map, right, of the good truncation of J shifted minus N times. Okay, so X, F, and G induce maps of simplicial three sheaves like that, okay, F star and G star from X to this thing I'm calling sort of an island bird in the plane object associated with shifted injective resolution. And to say that these two maps are chain homotopic, well, chain homotopy is controlled by a right homotopy, okay? And it's natural, it's right homotopy. So there's a right homotopy on the pre-sheaf level, and it passes when you take the underlying simplicial pre-sheaf to a picture that looks like this, where this is a right homotopy in the underlying projective model structure. Okay, this is the projective model structure defined on diagrams which are contravariant on C. Okay? Now, in the same vein, X might not be projective cofibrant, but I can replace it by something that is projective cofibrant, right? So we have a couple of maps, F star and G star, which are right homotopic from a projective cofibrant object to projective fibrant object. So that means that they're left homotopic as well. So you get the following picture. There's a left homotopy of simplicial pre-sheaves there with chain homotopy from F to G over in pre-sheaves of chain complexes, and what I'm getting here is a left homotopy in the category of simplicial pre-sheaves. Okay, so this is a left homotopy. Of course, there's more of the picture. And I haven't finished. What are we seeing? Right down. This picture up here is a co-cycle because that identity is certainly an isomorphism and hence a weak equivalence, okay? And this picture right here is a co-cyclomorphism from something to that. That co-cycle in the path component category is equivalent to that gadget. In other words, the co-cycle which consists of this weak equivalence in this manner. Okay? But Aaron left homotopy land and put a pi there as well, and this particular co-cycle by this map I naught is equivalent to the co-cycle which consists of S and this composite here. That composite's a weak equivalent. Well, then you can go backwards using this map and then backwards again like so. In other words, what have you shown? He's shown that if you have a couple of chain maps like this, which are chain homotopic, appreciated chain complex, chain homotopic, then when you convert them to simplicial appreciated maps, they land in the same path component of the co-cycle category. So, what we've got now is a function, well-defined function, from, we have an abelian group homomorphism, from chain homotopy classes and maps, to path components. Of the co-cycles from X to this gadget that looks like an Edgar McLean thing, only a guy with an injector bus solution shifted. And the lemma is that this map phi is an isomorphism. Why would that be? When you start with a co-cycle, it's a picture that looks like this. Okay. And this is the gadget that actually comes from a, it can be seen, it comes from an actual chain homotopy class of maps. But of course, this is a weak equivalent, and we've shown that weak equivalence is induced isomorphisms of chain homotopy classes of maps. So in the chain homotopy world, that lifts to a map from X to K of J of N. Okay? And that gives you an inverse going backwards. So, here's the corollary. These chain homotopy classes of maps, we just said that they're isomorphic to path components of this co-cycle category. Well, this, of course, is the co-cyclic category for local weak equivalences of simplicial pre-sheaves. But that, by the previous theorem, it's morphisms in the homotopy category. And this thing, this K of J of N, is weakly equivalent to this Eilenberg-MacLane object because it was chosen as a resolution. So. String of isomorphisms like that, relating maps in the homotopy category from X taking values in Eilenberg-MacLane space to chain homotopy classes and maps like that, taking values in an injective resolution. And that's the way these arguments go, basically. If you want to compare something homotopy theoretic to something else, you remember that it comes from past components of co-cycles, and then do all your hard work on the co-cycle level. Such that it okay, this is giving a definition to suppose that A is an abelian pre-sheaf. Some small group needs, right? And X is a simplicial pre-sheaf. And I define dense cohomology of X with coefficients in A to be morphisms in the homotopy category of simplicial pre-sheaves from X to Eilenberg-MacLane object. Okay? This is a generalization. Something you know. I should also say that I said abelian pre-sheaf here, but the associated sheaf map, is an isomorphism in the homotopy category, and it preserves the Eilenberg-MacLane object. So I could just write that. Okay. If we have our abelian sheaf. Okay, remember, the way you define sheaf cohomology for the underlying site, like if this was the atel topology, you'd be talking about the atel topology, the atel cohomology of the underlying scheme of coefficients in a sheaf. When you think about it, when you take an injective resolution and take homology of global sections. And in degree n, that's the same thing as chain homotopy classes and maps. Like so. Okay? Because maps off of the terminal object pick off global sections. But by this theorem I just wrote down, this is the same thing as maps from point to that particular Eilenberg-MacLane object in the homotopy category. Okay? So all sheaf homology is homotopy groups, or is homotopy one way or another. Okay, let me make some remarks about this. That was the first one. Here's another. I used a spectral sequence somewhere and found out later that, whoops, this is actually morphisms in the homotopy category. Okay? And I define those morphisms in the homotopy category to be the cohomology of X with coefficients in something. So,
put that all together and you have a universal coefficient spectral sequence. It's just the one I alluded to before. It's Q of X group. Pth homology sheaf of X with coefficients in the sheaf associated to A, and that converges to this cohomology group. Okay? You can recover cohomology from homology sheaves by a spectral sequence. And this is just a summary of what's happened over here. Something else that's nice to know. Cohomology elements are represented by cocycles. Here's one of them. Here's another. Now, if you take a product of simplicial pre-sheaves, section lines, the only one there is, and take associated simplicial abelian group, okay, then that's naturally isomorphic to the level-wise tensor product of the associated simplicial abelian groups or simplicial abelian pre-sheaves, okay. Now, if X prime maps to that Angular McLean space and Y prime maps to that one, then remember these come from pre-sheaves of simplicial abelian groups. So there's natural maps from these particular gadgets over to the corresponding things. There should be an M here. This is in the category of pre-sheaves of simplicial abelian groups. This is naturally weakly equivalent. That particular Amber-McLean object, that's the Gallenberg-Zilber theorem ultimately. And when you take adjoints, adjoints. This long map here has an adjoint. The map of simplicial pre-sheaves like so, for of course you've forgotten the underlying simplicity abelian group structure on the right-hand side, the adjoint of this long map. At the same time, X prime maps to X by weak equivalence and Y prime maps to Y by weak equivalence. So you have a weak equivalence there and take the product. What have I done? I've just constructed the external cup product pairing for you. Tell that. This is defined for arbitrary pre-sheaves, simplicial pre-sheaves, and arbitrary pre-sheaves of abelian groups on arbitrary but small growth unique sites. Okay? Up until early 80s, this was an actual impossibility. Nobody even knew a cup product wasn't a flat site because people always used to go to Mod resolutions. But this gives a universal construction. And I mean, when I started to figure it out in the early 80s, I was using hypercovers to do this, not exactly the same way. And this is actually much easier than what I originally wrote down.
All right. Now, there's a big principle here. And it came up in this previous proof. I have a map to some Bushel precedes which induces induces a homology sheaf isomorphism. Let me say it this way. Okay? Then F induces isomorphisms to cohomology. And this is for all coefficients. Okay? Now again, this is a comparison of these universal coefficient spectral sequences. And when you compare them, you see isomorphisms on sheaf homology groups, or sheaf homology, excuse me, homology sheaves. Then you see an induced isomorphism on level of homology. There's a torsion coefficients version of this too. You talk about n torsion sheaves and injective resolutions taking values in n torsion sheaves and things like that. And you see a similar sort of comparison. It's a map of some Bushel precedes induces an isomorphism in mod n homology sheaves, then it's going to induce an isomorphism in cohomology groups for all n torsion coefficient sheaves. Let me just say that there is this torsion coefficient version. Now, here's an example. This was the first calculation example of this theory. K is an algebraically closed field. L is a prime, which is relatively prime to characteristic. Okay? And the underlying C site that I've been calling C so far is going to be the smooth schemes over K with the A topology. Theorem from 1984 or so called the Gabber rigidity theorem. Okay. Let me say what it says. Let's take the full general linear group, right, and evaluate that as a strict tensorization of the local ring of the smooth point on a scheme. Okay? That's what's in there. These things are the things that measure stocks to the A topology on smooth schemes.
All right. And what did Gabber do? There's a residue map from this local ring down to the underlying Ellsberg and close field K. And L for prime, which is the characteristic and so on. Okay? This is the residue map. And what Gabber showed was that this is an isomorphism. And that's what the Gabber rigidity theorem says. Here's another way of looking at it. So you have your free sheath corresponding to the general linear group on the smooth site, smooth A-tail site. It has this classifying object associated with this. It's now a simplicial free sheath on the smooth A-tail site. Because everything's defined over K, global sections is amounts to taking K points everywhere. So this is a nice simplicial set. Okay? But it has an associated constant simplicial free sheath. And that maps black canonical map to the classifying object of the general linear group. And when Gabber's theorem says, it says this map here is a mod L homology isomorphism. Homology sheaf isomorphism. Well, why? You want to check such a thing in stocks. When you check such a thing in stocks, it's exactly this. So you have a mod L homology sheaf isomorphism. So what that means is that it induces an isomorphism in mod L homology. The induced map in the A-tail homology of the simplicial object BGL with mod L coefficients down to the A-tail homology of this constant gadget is an isomorphism by comparison of these universal coefficient spectral sequences. On the other hand, Mays Ellsberg closed field constant schemes over it aren't too interesting, and neither is their cohomology. This is isomorphic to the ordinary cohomology of this simplicial set with Mydell coefficients. So what Gabber rigidity theorem does, once you apply the rest of this technology, is it tells you that the discrete cohomology of the general linear group with these coefficients is isomorphic to A-tail cohomology. Okay? And there's various nice consequences. Because this is all about K-theory calculations ultimately, but first of all, right there in that. This discrete cohomology group, which in general is a real brute to compute, okay? It's isomorphic to A-tail cohomology. So that can be compared by what's called proper smooth base change theorem to the cohomology of BU, actual topological space, with Mydell coefficients. And this is a polynomial ring in Chern classes. Like so, where the degree of CI is 2i. Okay? So this is giving you a calculation of this thing that's hard to compute. It's also telling you, because you compare with A-tail cohomology, that if you have an inclusion
styles break the closed field, then the cohomology this discrete thing for L is the same thing as the cohomology the discrete thing for K. Now, this is Suslin's first rigidity theorem in different clothing. Okay, this implies that the inclusion of those pre-closed fields induces an isomorphism in Model K groups. This was Suslin. And I could go on and on. This is also telling you by comparison with BU that this gadget's a ring. You know what it is. It's a polynomial ring in the body element. The body element is the Greek two generator. And so on and so on. And so this, Suslin's original proofs were quite different. This is sort of the conceptual way of getting at this theory. Okay. The whole point of this, all this stuff in the early going was to get calculations like that. As far as I'm concerned, it's still a point. That's what a lot of people are using it for. The thing is, if you have a hard invariant to compute like K-theory, the idea is to replace it with something that might be easier to compute, like Hill K-theory, and compare them. And the idea that that might be an isomorphism is a misstatement of the Lichtenbaum-Quillen conjecture. But generally, the whole idea is to compare discrete things to topological things, and that's exactly what these comparison maps do. Okay. Let me give you more of the picture there. Here's a proposition. Your A is appreciated for abelian groups. And of course, this gives rise to appreciated for Weinberg and McLane complexes. Okay? I don't want to stop there. I want to take a globally fibrant model, meaning that this is globally fibrant. Fibrant in that model structure I was talking about yesterday, and this is a local weak equivalent. Right? Then, you can take this gadget. Evaluate it in sections, okay? And of course, that's a simplicial set there. In fact, it's a Kahn complex. And that Kahn complex has homotopy group space of zero. And you can write down what these homotopy groups are. For J between zero and N, what you're seeing is sheaf cohomology groups for restricted sheaves, okay, as you go back down, and zero for J greater than N. And you prove this by, you have to show that this globally fibrant model restricts to a globally fibrant model on all these sites here that you get by restriction. Okay, and then you can compute homotopy groups because there's, a standard fiber sequence here. Like so. And you can take a global fiber model of that. This thing started life as a contractual in all sections, so the global fiber model is going to be contractual in all sections too. And that gives you a way of inductive way of unscrewing this result, and where you end up with is the calculation of pi naught, which you already seen. Okay? I mean, what this is saying is that pi naught of this is nth cohomology of this type of coefficient of Spencer's perfection. Was an Atel site or something civilized like this. Atel site of X, for example. Okay. And this gadget U really means one of these. And this restricted site is really talking about the Atel cohomology of U, the scheme U. It appears in the total space there. All right. I keep using this word descent. Here's the definition. Say that the simplicial Cauchy effect satisfies descent. If some globally silent model I'll write it this way. There's a historical reason for writing G, because in many cases the Gaudemont resolution gives you a globally silent model. Okay. If some globally vibrant model induces weak equivalences in all sections, okay, that satisfies the descent. In other words, if any globally vibrant model is a section-wise weak equivalent, so certainly. Globally fibrant objects do that, because any weak equivalence of globally fibrant objects, well, that's a weak equivalence of objects which are cofibrant and fibrant, so it's a homotopy equivalence. All right. I want to give you a little warning here. I've said a lot about these guys. Sheaves or pre-sheaves. These almost never satisfy descent. That's why you need the globally fibrant models. They are different. If these things all did satisfy descent, there wouldn't be any such thing as sheaf cohomology. Okay? Just wondering, looking at it. But, I mean, the set question is, given some naturally occurring X, does it have this behavior? Well, when X is a simplicial pre-sheaf, a pre-sheaf of spectra, what have you. And I just talked about the Lichtenbaum-Quillen conjecture a little bit ago, or at least I glanced off it. And that itself is the descent question. In fact, you can say that a lot of the good problems in K-theory, maybe non-commutative geometry too, are descent questions. Okay, and they can be encoded in pictures like this. Okay. And the reason one cares is that you have calculations like this, and if a gadget satisfies descent, then it can be unscrewed with a positive cover resolution, you get what's called a descent spectral sequence. Let me explain a bit. So X is a pointed simplicial pre-sheaf here. Okay? And it has a Poisson-Kopf tower. It's a simplicial Poisson-Kopf tower. You construct it just like you did for ordinary simplicial sets. Okay, so this is the Poisson-Kopf tower. Here you're extracting out pi naught, here you're extracting out pi 1 and pi naught. Now you make a fibrant model of this Poisson-Kopf tower. by taking a globally fiber model in the base, okay, and you look at this comp set, and replace it by a composite of a local weak equivalent and a global vibration. Okay? And you carry on up the same way. Okay. Now, if you look, this, in some sense, is a globally fibrant replacement of the local vibration that you get from Pn of x to Pn minus 1 of x. And the fiber, you can show, is a globally fibrant model of an Eiliger-Gruner plane object. Okay, so this is a fiber sequence. This is a global fiber sequence. In particular, it induces fiber sequences in each section. Okay. And that means evaluate an object with dented line of sight, and I get natural fiber sequences and spatial sets where I understand what's happening with the homotopy groups of this fiber here. It's cohomology groups, okay, arranged sort of in descending order. So, there's a machine you fire up at this point. Thus, to a time spectral sequence. This power of vibrations in each section. And you do what they do, except that you re-index according to the way Thomason tells you to do. And the spectral sequence, well, really, it's appreciate the spectral sequences. That's another thing. Has E2 term, which looks like these restricted cohomology groups, cohomology in these restricted homotopy groups, rather, and it converges what's at the top of the tower. Homotopy groups of that. Sorry? I'm sorry, I should have said something. Let's see. Oh, it's... here. Okay. All right, this is the so-called descent spectral sequence. And this is why you hope that X satisfies descent, because it might look, if it does, it might look like this inverse limit in the spectral sequences is giving you a machine for calculating that. The homotopy groups, maybe. There's two issues. The spectral sequence might not converge. So this, it is about to upon spectral sequence, so there's all sorts of horror about convergence, okay? So in this generality, it doesn't converge, necessarily. And secondly, you started with something
and it might be better work. You show that you have a weak equivalence theory, and I should put a quote if I remodel correct there. This might not be a weak equivalence. Okay. But in general, these problems are both licked if you have a uniform bound on cohomological dimension for all the sheaves and sight over all the schemes in sight. And that's which kind of thing that you get in Atel topology for nice geometric objects. So this works for L torsion sheaves, say, on the Atel topology in finite dimensional situations, which means algebraic geometric finite dimensional situations, or in number theory. Okay, so for L torsion sheaves. So this is why this is viewed as a cool machine for the Atel topology. And that's why you want invariants to look like your Atel topological invariants, because you have this method of computing. Now that's the old descent spectral sequence. There are others that I won't bother you with. There's a descent spectral sequence for motivic homotopy theory, which is a little bit different from this, but in the same spirit. Okay, so that's essentially a survey of what happens in Abelian cohomology from this point of view. Let me just say a few words about non-abelian cohomology. I'll say a lot more about it next time. Okay. So here G will be a sheaf of groups. Again, this is very, very general. Okay. What's a G torsor? How is it traditionally defined? It's traditionally defined to be a principal G bundle. So that's a sheaf with G action. That free action to be free, such that when you take the quotient by the G action in the sheaf world, you get the one-point sheaf. Okay, so this is a G torsor over the one point, and this is usually what you mean by a G torsor in a sheaf context. Okay. Remember, I said it's a Borel construction. Associates the action of pre-sheaf groups on a pre-sheaf. Certainly, Borel construction here. And of course, that's nerve of a certain group void. That I defined last time. If you say that the action is free, it means that there's no isotropic groups anywhere. Okay? And that means that all the automorphism groups
trivial. Okay, this is for all x in all sections. Now, what that means when you look at that map, see quotient of x by g and its path components of the Borel construction, I mean it's a co-equalizer of the action in this map which does nothing to x. It's your d1 respectively. Okay? And to say that this is true means that this is a local equivalence. Okay? Where you identify this with a simplicial object, which is trivial in special direction. It's a local equivalence. At the same time, slice is one of those pieces in the definition. But you're also requiring this. Okay? That the quotient sheet is actually trivial. What that's saying. It's saying that you have a sheaf with G action such that the corresponding map in the Borel construction to the terminal object is weak equivalent. Here's a fact. X is a G torsor, if and only if. Canonical map is a local weak equivalence. Okay. So this is a description of torsors in terms of official sheaf, pre-sheaf homotopy theory that has arisen recently. Well, what have we got here? We've got a map, the terminal object, which is weak equivalence. Okay? At the same time, this Borel construction maps canonically to B of G. Every G torsor. X determines a cocycle or an object rather in that cocycle category. Okay? Let's go backwards. What does such a cocycle look like? It amounts to a covering of V of G by an object which is weakly equivalent to a point, abstractly. Okay? So that map's well known. For the record, E of G is classifying an object of displayed category corresponding to G over a point. Okay? And let's pull back this map over Y. Let me give it this name so I don't get confused. This is the pullback diagram. And because Y carries a, I'm sorry, because this carries a G action, this does. And you can show it's just formal nonsense that because this has the G action, it also has an associated Borel construction, and there's a canonical map to Y, which is a weak equivalent. Okay? This is an intersection, so it's a local weak equivalent. At the same time, that's essentially contractible
I'm sorry, I'm screwing up. Yes.
This is a local vibration.
So, the sequence here is a homotopy vibration, homotopy fiber sequence. The diagram is homotopy Cartesian. It's a better way of saying it. And what that amounts to, what that says, is that this pullback thing has no higher shades of homotopy groups. That's what it means. Okay, so we've got our co-cycle, we took this pullback construction, and what this pullback construction having no sheets of higher homotopy groups means is that when you take the map from the pullback to the constant gadget associated to its sheet of path components, then that's a weak equivalence. Of course, this has a G action too, the sheet of path components. And again, it's formal nonsense that this is a weak equivalence. We knew this was a weak equivalence. We knew this was a weak equivalent to a point, all right, because we started with a cocycle. So, what that means, therefore, is that we do this pullback construction, the universal bundle over Y, take its path components, take a sheaf associated to that, you get a G torsor. And I've just demonstrated a way of going from G torsors to cocycles and back again. And the moral of the story is, when you chase these maps and path components, you see they're inverse to each other, and that's an isomorphism. Okay? The category of G torsors is a groupoid. That's easy to see. From a homotopy theoretic point of view, it's also a classical fact. And so what you really got here is isomorphism classes of G torsors. That goes by a different name. It's a non-abelian cohomology of the site C with coefficients groups G. Okay? But on the other hand, at the beginning of the 90 minutes, I showed you past components in that co-cycle category is isomorphic dimorphisms in the homotopy class. Morphisms in the homotopy category. So what we've got here is an identification of non-abelian H1 morphisms in the holotropic category. I approved this a long time ago, but certainly not by these methods. Okay, this is pretty easy. I think I'll stop there and carry on tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah, that's what's going on.
So, where is the local
permittivity? It's the freeness of the action, isn't it? It's local for the topology, right? So, I mean, if you have a torsor that sits over a point, and when you pull back that torsor over itself, you get, well, you get this, but of course it's a section. That's giving it the trivialization of X over itself. Okay, that's the localness, right? because this is a sheet that I guess that's just. So it's in both those conditions.
No, I don't see it. Maybe there is another way of looking at the question. The reactions of G on this is like the actions of G on this.
That's right.
Because you're trying to have the